Ruby.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Very good.
I think it's just the two of us right now.
Correct.
All right. I'm going to mute my phone.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening.
Good evening, Hanok.
Please join me in saying Yana Bakoas. Anna Bakoa Gedula Chemincha Tati Se. Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbeinu Tachaneinu No Ra Kufrei Shayan Sin Tet Nun Na Gibor Dor Shehud Cha Givava Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kav Shin Barchem Tacharem Rakame Sitkatha Tami Gamrem Betet Resh Tzadi Tav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adata Et Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim Yachid Geh Lamcha Penei Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamet Pei Zayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyut Taf. The letters of the month of Shvat, the Bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn, and the Tzadi that created the constellation Deli, the water carrier. Some call it the water bucket. The astrological sign of Aquarius. Together, the Tzadi and the Bet have a gematria of 92, which is the 91 plus the Kolel. And this is an indication of the month of Shabbat has a connection to the unity of the spiritual and physical worlds. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we will separate between the right hand, the right column energy, and the left column energy of that creation. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notze Chesed L'Alafim, Noseawon Wafesha, V'Chata'a V'Nakei. Now we're going to read the verses that we read daily that connect to the energy of the years, this year, our current year, as well as some earlier years. This year of the goat, 5777, we have two verses that we read that connect to this energy. The first one that we will read is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. This verse has five words. When we take these first letter of each of the five words, we're able to permute them into three Hebrew words. Tzatz ki ach, which means to appear like brothers. And if we take the final letters of the five words, we're able to permute it into two Hebrew words. Dir Yam, which is translated as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to this year of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. And that's because the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, is concealed within this verse, separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Hadevaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. We're now going to connect to the year of the pause, 5776, where we again have two verses that connects to this energy. The first is 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha-yulimat ve-lo yachlu le-ha-shit et kol ha-olot va-yechaskum. Achechem halevim ad kelot hamlacha yad yitkachu hakohanim ki halevim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei La La Hei Wa 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 Yo La Yo Wa La Me Hei 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 Aka A Re Ka Ha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4 is the second verse that connects to this year of the pause. Bidchu ba Adonai Yohewahe Adead Ki biya Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur Olamim. Job chapter 7, verse 19 is the first of three verses that connect to the year 5775, the year that death is swallowed forever. at least in potential. From some people it did manifest, and for others it did not. Kama lo tishemi meni, lo tarpeni yad bili ruki. The second of the three verses is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol ha-machavo iya. Asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem Eli el nachon v'chalakti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipaski oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yom ruayo. And the year of 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East, there is only one verse that has this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 10. Wisamti makom leami leYisrael untati vishakam tachta velo yirgaz od velo yosifo v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 19th day of Shabbat, Rabbi Binyamin Zev Shapiro, Rabbi Yitzhak Baruch ben Rabbi Eliyahu Sofer, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yichiel Michal Aaron Weinberg, Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yehuda Greenfeld, Rabbi Elimelech Menachem Landu, Rabbi Shmuel Karlbuch. Shmuel Karlbach, I'm sorry. Rabbi Herschel Mashinsky. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Today's class is a Zohar class. We'll find that on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. In the second column from the left, row 19, the last row. When you open up the landing page, scroll down to class number 8, section 10A, which is where we will begin. And we'll start with the Lashem Yehud, and I will say some of the section out loud. And then I will tell you where we will start to scan as we do so. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Urchimu Udchilu Udchilu Urchimu V'yach d'alishem yudhe b'valche B'yichudah shalim b'shem kol Yisrael Limud Torah mitzvah La'asok Torah mitzvah V'yihino am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu ma'asei yadeinu Konene aleinu ma'asei yadeinu Konenehu K'gavna da Yud K Vav K Melech Yud K Vav K Melach Yud K Vav K Melech Simchon Leila Nekuda Dilchon Ketivin Tachotaihu Dalet Shemachen Telin Mikol Shema Veshema Ve'alayhu Itmar Ve'itvikara Zelekabel Yudbet Antin Detalat Chaim Alze Yudbet Gadfin Tetal tachayon ve'al kalho penei adam petafilin hu penei adam tzitzit penei chayon ve'gad pichiyon ve'ok muha ve'ok muhu Rabbanan Shem Ben Yud Bet Kol Hayud Yud Yudo Behazahir Bo Kol Tefilot Tefilotav Metak Valot Umakoro Yud Ke Vav Ke Kol Yudan Po Yud K Vav K Aleph Ud Mot Penichem Bene Adam Hakabahai Shema Razat Tafilin Betzitzit. We'll start scanning at the seventh line, the last word, with the two letters Taf and Chet, which is an acronym for Tachatzi. So we're scanning from line 8 on. The vowel points are the context against which we may view these divine emanations. These vowels are the shadows cast by the holiness, giving it an explicit expression, while still maintaining the all-encompassing quality of the thought embodied form. The vowel points assume a special place within the divine names. Below, they ascertain the meaning, substance of the emanation, and above, they act as points of connection above to below, and so on. The same thing is true in terms of the letters that are found at the beginnings and endings of words or phrases, configuring the divine names in the permutations. What, therefore, is the aspect of choice that comes into being? It is the face of a man, a ruler over all these appellations. The face of man in his configuration, the way he is linked above, and the determination of his sovereignty below. The head tefillin acts in the manner of the face of man, and the straps are wings he rides upon. The arm tefillin are the chayot, and their faces, as they call to one another, the man gives the answer or the direction in terms of which way to ultimately go. Now, meditation into these mysteries gives rise to the establishment of the name of 12, in that the various forces represented by these faces may be directed accordingly during prayers. This meditation is akin to holding mirrors in the mind that capture or stimulate the higher forces, interacting to arrange the flow of the Shekhinah below, to activate the emanations that are flowing above, in the sense of fixing them into the aspects of the realized prayers. Tefillin and tzitzit are the overt garments of prayer. Their inner significance is the meditative pathway that releases prayer from the potential to the actual. The divine connection is taken from Yud-Keh Vav-Keh, and the divine name relates together according to the manner in which they are arranged together, as brothers, sisters, mother, daughter, including within these connections the operation of the sacrifices and their mode of rising above and below, called the graded sacrifice. Thoughts are connected together similarly with each idea, ascending and descending to find its settled place via the connecting links that it shares accordingly with other thoughts. What we find in Torah, or phases that reveal these combinations and are the parallel operations of mind in its workings within the physical body to arrange the life experiences that result thereof. First, there has to be the recognition of being, or the awareness of being. Then out of this assumption, there is the reflection of being, which is the end game of divinity. You might think that God would arise first and all else afterwards. However, there must first be an awareness of being. Then that awareness, aware of being, contemplates the divine, its resident source. The Egyptian who denigrated the name is the ignorance of that reflection that comes from the awareness of being. The name is that reflection and the confirmation of that awareness of being, the two becoming one simultaneously. What was killed with the name was that ignorance of the awareness of being. Now these vowel points above are the awareness of being, and those below are the reflection of that awareness. This awareness of being is demonstrated then by the finding of the letters of the divine name at the beginning or the end of a phrase or a word. This is true in general of all Torah study, which exists for the purpose of the recognition of the divine in its awareness of being. What the Tikkuni Zohar is telling us, this is an unwritten commentary. What the Tikkuni Zohar is telling us is every verse that you read, you need to be counting the letters and counting the words. And then you need to permutate the letters by looking at what are the first letters in that verse tell you. How many words, what kind of words, what is the message of those words, of the first letters? Because as you read or scan that verse, you are actually, your soul is putting together these words into a certain order. Not necessarily the order that you're reading them, but in the order that is appropriate for the energy of the verse. This is one of the deepest secrets of the Kabbalah, and very few people are doing it, and yet it's important that we do it. Continuing to read. The word Bereshit is composed of the words Bat Roshi, the daughter of my head. These are the heads of the house, the Rashei Beit, the Bat Rosh, or Bat Roshi, of their fathers. The daughters comes first because she is the precursor of sons, meaning that we first become aware of the deepest feminine mysteries within prior to our acting, the male influence upon these revelations. The illumination of these colors come from that constant lingering back and forth between an awareness of being and its reflection like a candle, as the example shows, flickers inside of a chamber. A commentary. Recognizing the feminine allows us to then implement the masculine as an impact, a unification of what we have recognized. If we don't recognize something, if we don't realize this something, we cannot act upon it. The recognition is the feminine, the acting is the masculine. Continuing to read. A ruby from the aspect of Givurah, a diamond from the right side, and a barakat from the side of the central pillar. It is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, comprising 12 colors. And all of them tripled by the three patriarchs, tripled by priests and Levites and Israelites. Holiness to you, they will triple. The tripling of the 42 colors, intimated by the three patriarchs, the priests, the Levites, and the Israelites, and the threefold priestly blessing, Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Yimloch, Leolam Vaed. The colors that come from this represent the various gradients that appear throughout the multiple dimensions of influence that makes up the worlds without end. Chesed makes up the composite of all color, or everlasting color, referenced with everlasting love. This is thought filled with all of its ramifications, so that its overflowing quality of love or unconditional acceptance is brought forth. If you're understanding this translation, fine. If you're not understanding this translation, contemplate what you're reading, what you're studying, and eventually you will come to understand it. But it is not easy. It is a process, and one must start with the recognition of the feminine. Continuing to read. Gibura signifies the releasing of doubt in its animalistic core, so that together this releasing from Gibura and the overflowing of Chesed comprise the spiraling middle pillar. Yellow, Tzehov, like gold, is from the side of the higher mother, which is repentance. A yellow line that surrounds the whole world, and there is a color that is simple, that is doubled, that is tripled, that is quadrupled, until it adds up to 10 colors, in which shine 10 letters, which are Yud, Yud-He, Yud-He-Vav, Yud-He-Vav-He. And these 10 add up to 72. Ayin Bet, lights, 72 lights that illuminate in 72 colors. The color yellow of the higher mother, called repentance, is another gradient of expression that contains within itself the number series that adds to 72 from the 10 letters. The four groupings of single, double, triple, and quadruple. What this shows is that in order for the renewal of thought to take place, much must be left behind. This is the purpose of repentance, that is, the letting go of negativity in order to pursue the positive nature of things. The illumination of Malchut shows thoughts passing through the gradients above, gradually distilling its purpose below. There is a mirroring of one another, finally coalescing in the unified awareness. And furthermore, another tikkun, tikkun 6, and the wise shall radiate. They are wise who know the mystery of the second mitzvah. There you find it in it in the word bereshit, which is ahava. Ahava means love. In the small counting of Bereshit, which equals 13, ascending in one weight, 13 here and 13 there, and this is the love of Chesed, being 72 in number. This relates to the Shem HaMeforash form. Vaisa, Vayavo, Vayet. Here it's Vav Aleph Vav. The complete spelling is the same numerical value as Ahava, 13. Like Echad, which is one utterance. Then see Bereshit, where they have established. And could it not have been created with one utterance? If someone would consider and think and actually write out all of these letters and look at the gematria, all of this last two paragraphs will become very clear. As I said at the beginning of our classes, I will make some commentary, and some I will take the time to write Mostly I will not. Because when you're dealing with this level of the Tikkuni Zohar, we need to make the effort. And through the effort, all things become clear. That is the end of section 10A. Are there any questions? I'm going to say something, not as a criticism of any of the students, any of my students, the ones listening and the ones that will hear this on the recording. There is a halakha means a law, but it really means a pathway, a direction. There is a halakha that says that a man needs to pray in a minyan. And as that statement percolates through people's consciousness, and we start to practice going to the minyan, many, many people only go on Monday and Thursday, because these are the days that the Torah is read. But Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, people are busy with their work, they're busy with their lives, they don't participate in the minyan. And the sages have told us that if you only go on Monday and Thursday, it is as if you are stealing from the energy of the minyan, because you're receiving the minyan's energy from rehearing the Torah. But on the other days of the week, if you don't go, the minyan is being kept away from you and your energy is not being utilized properly. And so the sages have said, if you don't go on those other days, you are stealing from the minyan. And the reason I'm telling you this story, not to criticize you, but for you to realize, if you allow one person to speak, one person to ask questions, and you don't participate in the asking of the questions, it's like you're stealing. Just as it is, the sages have told us, go to the minyan every day, and if you don't, it's like stealing. So yes, I understand that having gone through this, and I will tell you, I don't understand what's being written here, what the translations are. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't ask a question. And it's important that you ask a question. And as I said, I'm not criticizing you. I'm not saying this for you to feel badly about yourself, because you don't understand and you're embarrassed to ask a question when you don't understand. But I'm inviting you to ask questions. And I hope you will continue to ask questions. And by participating in those asking of the questions, your understanding will come with less effort. I can promise you that. Let us scan section 10B. Section 10b in English. Therefore is this unity, echad, oneness found in the transformation of the divine name via the divine names found in Shemot, chapter 14, verses 19, 20, and 21, into the 72 three-letter combinations. There is a distillation and then a putting together, as it should be, since the end result of Torah study requires both for the enlightened to profit from their journeys within the mysteries. Out of Bereshit comes the incomparable. There are two that become one. This is template of resolution. It is the awareness of being recognizing the Creator, of being simultaneously and yet also as in two that becomes one. When our purpose is constant unity, then neither our money, nor our body, nor our soul may interpose themselves to subvert this most basic of realities. There, deep within, is the eternal veracity of existence and the verification of its unity. It is only through the unification of consciousness that the void is bridged. This bridge can be as simple as the linking of phrases and their letters, or as sublime as the addition of the letters of a phrase in Torah that brings a new insight. We may only grow by reflection of the unity within. The order of consciousness is in its connections. Without these connections, thoughts are disparate, leading to the chaos of separation. This is why he whose love for his master transcends all is a lover of the unity that adheres to all. And through these attractions, the connections are established above and below. This is a verbal commentary. It's a personal experience that I had. As my sister was 6 years older than I was, and she had gone to college. She was 19, I was 13. I had just come through my bar mitzvah. And she had been given a project, and the project that she chose was to teach someone the concept of what Marx taught, which is called, I believe, I'm going from memory, thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. And essentially what she taught me was you have two conflicting ideas. The first one is called a thesis, the second the antithesis. And when you put the two together, when you strive to understand them both and rise to a higher level, they become a synthesis, a unification. This is essentially what we have just said in this English translation of section 10b. We have a right column and a left column, sharing and receiving, thesis and antithesis. And then we have a central column, the synthesis, the putting together, the unification. This is what we have just read. Continuing to read. The order of consciousness is in its connections. Without these connections, thoughts are disparate, separated, leading to the chaos of separation. This is why we whose love for his master transcends all is a lover of the unity that adheres to all. And through these attractions, the connections are established above and below. Malchut represents the continuity of the union between above and below, or the thought and its expression. It is only through this continuity that the world is built. Conversely, the bad maidservant does not attend to her duties, meaning she is not connected to the one she serves. And this is the meaning of chaos in thought, when we do not constantly seek connection that uplifts and unifies while promoting the expression of that thought, which is characterized by Malchut. It is the unity of purpose that is the end result contained in the beginning. This is the primary love. The perfection of Torah is contained within the name, which gives rise to the 613 precepts. Therefore, do we find the image and its reflection in the central purpose or pillar that culminates in Malchut. The covenant is the connection between man and God, and further, this connection derives all manner of meaning, including the fires that bring forth man and woman. The fire that makes man is the idea of action moving towards its source, and the fire that makes woman is the acceptance that merges with its source, and then shows forth its reflection. Protecting the covenant means to protect the unifying principle. When the thought that misleads is transformed in the thought that protects, this is the covering that allows the illuminations, the idea that promote connection, to remain undeterred by the sin of separation. As previously stated, unity is the overriding principle within and without. Those who seek to distance themselves from unity are pursued relentlessly by it throughout their lives, and would suffer the most during Chibut HaKeber, the beating in the grave. Those that give in to the unity via mitzvot and right action come to know its ways, so that even in death it is unity that they are cooperating with, in effect working in concert with the process of Chibut HaKeber, the beating in the grave. And he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, became separated from them, Havdalah, and they knew that they were naked from them. This is a verse from Shemot, that Kadosh Baruch Hu became separated from them, but it's lots of different understandings. That's the end of section 10b, and we only have a few minutes left. So does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow's class at 4:30. All times are West Coast times. Tomorrow's class at 4:30 will be a mini Zohar class, and I hope to finish section 59. And our 7 o'clock class tomorrow is questions and answers. I hope you will bring some questions with you. I bid you all shalom and have a beautiful, peaceful day. Shalom.
Thank you, Hanak.
You're welcome.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom to all.